Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. David here with Liz Jones.
Hello.
And Bob Wilk.
Yeah.
And they're all pastors, just so you know. Okay, so.
When did that happen?
Yeah. Today we're going to immerse ourselves in the subject of baptism.
Good one.
Water baptism. Oh, yeah. See what I did there?
This is a good one.
Or I can sprinkle you if you want, whichever you want.
I can tell you've been practicing for that joke. I say we rewind and do it over again.
I can't do it as good. Yeah, no, I can't do better than that. That was good.
All right, okay. Well, at the end of this, Pastor David, are we going to have a baptism right here?
We can.
And baptize Pastor Liz?
What doth prevent us? Where's the water?
I'm glad you asked that.
Every time we would drive past water as a kid, my dad would be like, here is water, what preventeth me? It was pretty funny.
Oh, God.
The more you do those jokes, the funnier they
get. Listen, before, you know, out of the mouth of babes, speaking of his daughter is actually a very spiritual young lady. How old is she now? Like four,
three.
Five, three?
Mm-hmm.
She's three. She's a baby. I'm sorry. I have a lot of grandchildren. I can't keep track of all their
names.
But she's tiny. She's in my office yesterday, and I go, it was Easter yesterday. And she's like, I go, what's Easter about? She goes, it's about Jesus being resurrected from the dead. I said, oh, where did you learn that? And she goes, the Bible. It was so good.
Yeah.
I went, I just thought, I had thought for a while that only, you know, only adults would do that to me. But now apparently anyone can do that.
No.
It's open season.
Yeah, scorn.
Okay, so let's get back to that.
Again. All right, let's dip into this topic. Okay. All right, guys, ready? All right, so why is the subject of baptism important for a disciple of Christ? What do you think, Liz? Why would we even talk about this?
Well, apparently it's pretty important.
Apparently.
Because of the Bible.
Way to give him some of his own.
Hey, I like it.
Let's get his daughter in here instead of him from now on.
I like when people quote the Bible. It's good.
Yeah.
Instead of like, well, our churches believe this, or, you know, the Westminster Catechism, blah, 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 you know. So,
yeah.
Not that those are bad.
Yeah. Well,
the Bible's
we see,
better.
Like, any believer, right, that there's a mandate for them to be baptized. And then also it's part of making disciples, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the whole, you know, we call the Great Commission, like go out and make disciples, baptizing them, right? There's a connection there between baptism and someone who's a follower of Jesus. He was the first Christian
to
get baptized.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
First one of the new covenant.
Good doctrine we're coming up with right here, right on the spot.
He was.
That's amazing.
And he got his identity. The father said, you're my beloved son. All that. Oh, it's all there. It's some good stuff there.
It's good when that happens to you.
It does. Yeah, it is. What do you think, Pastor Bob? Why is this important?
Because Jesus said to do it.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay.
I mean, really, it's like the Ten Commandments. Like, you can choose not to do it, but he did say do it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say.
It's not optional.
Well, he said, if you feel like it,
mm-hmm.
go some places and possibly teach people. And maybe if you feel like it, baptize them. That's the new translation.
Yeah.
But in reality, he just said, go into all the world, you know, make disciples and baptize them.
He said it harsher. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be damned. Mm. Oof. Okay, so if we're going to go the Jesus route, the command route,
you do it all
that's
the
one. That's the Mark one.
Wait, that's the same God that came out of the Old Testament? I thought he got reformed.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
He's always been great. He's always been loving. He's always been truthful. But yeah,
yes.
He's always loved baptisms.
Yeah.
He told Naaman to jump in that river seven times. He brought Israel through the sea, through the Red Sea, into the cloud, you know, spirit and water baptism.
But he didn't baptize.
Who?
Jesus.
He didn't?
Well,
you know.
That's what he said.
He did. I think that's why John
said his guys did it, but he just watched.
I know.
He didn't like the wet. I don't know.
He had a phobia. He only walked on the water. He didn't go in the water.
It's hard when you walk on the water. You can't get in there with them.
Yeah. It's tough. All right. Let's go to the next question. Okay. Yeah,
good idea.
So he said it was not optional to be baptized. Does that mean you have to be baptized to be saved?
Yeah, Pastor Bob.
Yes. See, we just lost.
Let's try to offend everybody.
People. I wanted to get rid of them. See, they haven't. They turned it off right then. They're now back. Just the normal people here now, still listening.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe that you do not have to be baptized to be saved. I believe you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You're redeemed by His blood, and that's the only thing that can do it on this earth.
Good.
Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever, and
mm-hmm.
and His blood that purchased us.
Amen.
That's awesome. Such an awesome, what an awesome gospel, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bought.
Yeah, the thief on the cross didn't get baptized. He's okay, though. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But, you know, what do you think, Liz, to be saved, baptized, to be saved?
I mean, I think if you're talking about like, you know, the new spirit regeneration, right? That mm-hmm. We know that happens like initial salvation. Jesus is Lord. I repent. I accept mm-hmm. Him. Appropriate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Spirit saved.
Yes.
I do think that there's a, like we'd say, we're saved, being saved, will be saved. Like there's a salvation process.
Sure.
And I believe that baptism is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say yes. No and yes.
So that's what you mean by, and I know we some people heard that go by quickly and then mm-hmm. went, huh? Initial salvation. Like, what's right. that all about, Pastor Liz?
Yeah. I believe there's like a, it's the beginning of life. And then there's a further process that happens.
Yeah.
There's further salvation. There's further deliverance. There's further healing. And baptism is a huge part of that. I love baptism, so mm-hmm. I'm glad we're talking about it.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think it's an amazing, it's such an amazing thing. And it's such a simple thing that can almost seem like silly and offensive to someone who, you know, is like, wants
doesn't,
to be like high-minded.
But doesn't God
you know?
Do that about everything?
Yes, that's why I love it.
I mean, isn't like the gospel silly and offensive to some people according to the word?
That's why I love it so much. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, go. Put yourself under this water and now this amazing thing happened and it's like, you know what I mean? It doesn't like, make what? Sense at all.
Yeah.
And that's why I love it. It's so supernatural and so simple.
I love that.
It's cool, right? I mean,
foolishness of God.
Yeah.
Because Peter actually said baptism, which corresponds to Noah coming through the flood, baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus.
Oh, the conscience.
Right? And so this like, it's not saving in the initial sense, like Liz was making that point, because, you know, through faith alone, we're justified, counted righteous. We get, you know, a new spirit, new self, all that. But, you know, in order to move into that salvation and to be sanctified, there's certain means of grace that you have to use, like reading the Bible, that can help you become holier, right? And taking communion, baptism, it's a means of grace. It's something the Lord does. It's something that He uses. It's an ordinance. I think it's a prophetic act, right? Where actually like grace is released into your life to help you walk in the kingdom, right? And so it's not just this trivial thing. It actually contributes to your, you know, quote unquote, full salvation, becoming mature in Christ.
Well, I think it's definitely a building block that if you skip it, you're skipping a pretty essential component of the building block.
It's like taking the Jenga pieces out of the middle, you know?
Well, it's God building on who he is in us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, when you receive, as we believe, a new heart, which might sound really crazy to some people, but it's not if you study your Bible. You know, when you receive that new heart, that God now can like, build on that heart. He can, you know, wash it with the water of the word. He can imprint on that heart by His Holy Spirit, His word in a special way that possibly before then was not possible.
Yeah. So let's go to this next question then. So like the way I was raised is we were taught baptism is a symbol where it's a outward sign of an inward change. And it shows that you're really committing to being a Christian. Like you're putting the old behind you and you're walking. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I think it's good. It's like it's a starting point, but I think that misses some of the biblical teaching on this, which is why I'm actually considering I'm going to get rebaptized just because I'm understanding more and more about what God actually does through faith, like through baptism. Right. Mm-hmm. But I just want to put this question to you guys. Is baptism only a symbol or what actually happens if somebody is faithfully going under the water? Like if somebody's trusting God, What's the Lord going to do through that? What do you guys think?
I mean, we believe there's actually an operation that the Lord does in that moment. And I know we'll get to this later, but like I experienced that. It was like mm-hmm. a face-to-face encounter where he changed me. That there's an operation, there's a cutting away that happens there. There's a burial of the old man. There's a covenant that gets cut between you and him. There's so much that happens in baptism. And I just want to say, like, if anyone wants, we have resources and notes, and like just contact us on the Spirit School of Ministry website. We'd be happy to send them.
Absolutely.
We believe so much in this that it is more than just a declaration of I'm a follower of Jesus. There's actually a spiritual operation that happens in the water that will change the rest of your life.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I think before we go any further too, just for clarity, for someone who may not be aware of some of the things we're talking about, that we actually believe, like the Bible teaches, that we're triune beings made in the image and likeness of God. And that means that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And that our, you know, at salvation, we actually receive a new spirit, not Holy Spirit, not to be confused with Holy Spirit. He's there. He's in the operation. He's all there. But there's a new spirit born of him, like I mentioned earlier.
Alive to God.
Yes. Secondly, that because we have a soul, our heart, if you will, the Bible teaches us in Ezekiel and other places, you know, a new heart also will he give us. And you know, and then he talks about it, a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll take out that old stony heart, put in you a heart, a flesh, one that's pliable, one that's teachable, one that's moldable. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, and the last component of this, full salvation, if you will, that whole, you know, series that you were talking about, mm-hmm. is our physical body, that it'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. And this, you know, corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Now, that's mind-boggling to a lot of people. I mean, if you have a hard time with your soul, this is going to get really crazy for you in the future. But no, seriously. And so to think about how God looks at us and how he wants to redeem us so completely, he's not just satisfied like, okay, good spirit. You know, like what about he made us who we are, mm-hmm. and he wants us to be in full communion with him fully as he designed us. And this is a part of that whole process, if you will. That's why the, you know, born again experience is actually a continuing experience that happens from when you first meet Jesus, you know, and accept him as your savior, to when you finally meet him, whether it's in heaven or him returning here on the earth, that change that will occur. There's a fullness that's happening in salvation that's so awesome and so lost on Christianity, because then we get all stuck with, you know, programs and things, and we forget like, oh, we're being made in this image and likeness. Like, he's actually coming back for a people that will see him for how he is. I just went off on a whole tangent there. So I'm trying to preach to you guys. You guys need to get baptized right now, right? Let's bring out the water. No, but it's such a, I mean, there's so much. Now, is it a magic wand that fixes you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want that, don't you? Just like salvation was. Oh,
yeah. Resurrection will be.
Resurrection, yes. Yeah. Depends what resurrection you're in. That's a whole other story. But,
very true.
But the reality, yeah. But the reality is, it's a wonderful, it's a great, you know, thing that God's, you know, shown us. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're sharing about water baptism today. It sounds mm-hmm. so like, what? Why? How? Yeah. Because it goes beyond just jumping into water, getting wet, and jumping out and going, ta-da, we did it. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, it is an external, you know, work that, you know, an internal, a viewing of an internal work. Yes, is that, and much more.
Yeah.
Much
What does anything else happen in the waters of baptism?
Yes.
You can think of?
Take on the name of the Lord. Like, you bear his name after that. It's like a marriage covenant. There's like, it's so much mm-hmm. that happens there. It's almost like, you know, like salvation. It's like the conception, and then the baptism is like the birth, mm-hmm. you know, like the breaking of the water coming forth, you know, and like, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he's talking about being born again, but it's like being born from above.
Yeah.
You know, like mm-hmm. you take on this completely different origin of who you are, and everything that you were is put behind you. Like, I think that's one of the most powerful things, that when you go down in that water, everything that came before that moment in your life no longer has any power. It's put to death. So any history, any trauma, any addiction, like any of that stuff, it's buried. It's robbed of its power. And now you're born into another family, into another life, and you get to walk. Now you have the power and the ability where you may not have had before to be able to walk in that. And it also says that now you can actually perceive the kingdom. Like you mentioned the kingdom earlier, like this is you have now spiritual eyes and a heart that can perceive the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's so good.
Amazing.
Yeah, I love what you said about how it creates a separation between us and our old life, because it says in Romans 6 that we're buried with him in baptism. Mm-hmm. We die with him, I believe, through faith, and then at salvation, and then in baptism, that dead old man is brought to nothing because it's buried and it's covered with the earth or with the water. Just like when they passed through the Red Sea, God said, these Egyptians that you see today, you'll never see again. Mm-hmm. He covered them with the sea.
Yeah.
And then all they had left of Egypt was just what was in their brains, you know. that was what made them want to go back. But there wasn't any compulsion to it. It was, he buried the armies of Pharaoh behind them.
Right.
So that's an amazing thing, that we're buried with him. So sometimes like we focus on, I died with him and I live with him. But there's that powerful truth that we're also buried.
That's right.
Buried with him. And we're separated from the world and our past, everything that you just said.
Well, I also wanted to mention, like when you mentioned Nicodemus, it's very interesting to me because here you have a scholar of the Bible, the known Bible of that time, you know, a doctor, if you will, in Israel. And yet with all that understanding and his understanding of the kingdom, by the way, the kingdom, God's, kingdom from the Old Testament, if you will, that their view, he had all that going, right? Jesus is like, really, you got all this and you don't get it? You're asking me stuff like, how can a man enter back into his mother's womb? He's like, you must be born again, of the water and the spirit. And that's a conjunction. That's both. It's not one or the other.
Right.
Yeah. It's both. And it was like, I just imagine Jesus sitting there going, I know this is too simple for you to receive because your mind is so out there. And so you have a lot, I believe, in Christianity, a lot of people whose minds are very educated in Christianity, in the Bible, okay, and in kingdom, if you will, whatever that means to certain people. Mm-hmm. And they just can't imagine that something as simple as going down into the waters of baptism with belief, with faith, that this kind of thing can just do this. And I always go, wow, you can't believe that. It's the same thing, by the way, that keep people, I believe, from Holy Spirit too. They just can't, they don't receive him with just a simplistic childlike faith. But I'm like, well, you received Jesus that way, didn't you? It's like, really, you believed that some guy 2,000 years ago being killed saved you? That sounds a little immature to me. There must be more.
Michael Heiser calls it selective supernaturalism, or we can believe in the Trinity or we could believe in Jesus, but we're not going to believe that we become a new person, or we're not going to believe in speaking in tongues or prophecy or something like that.
Oh, that's
like
the selective
right? Yeah, it's like, what makes one reasonable and one not?
We do
it's
all hit the a Bible. Point where something offends our mind.
It's
more than likely, it's going to be something simple.
Right.
That's the deal with God, because he makes these things really simple so that you don't have to be like some genius to receive any of this. Matter of fact, that might be playing against you. Just saying, according to God.
Sure.
And here's the God of the universe that knows everything. And we're like, oh, yeah.
Well, there's whole theological systems built on this. I mean, you look at infant baptism. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Like, it makes sense logically if you think through it, where it's like, oh, it's a continuity of covenants. And, infants used to be circumcised, so infants need to be baptized. And this shows the covenant of grace versus the covenant of works. And there's a whole thing that people have devised that's logically sound, but that's not what you see in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. You see people getting dunked in the water, and like you just see them getting immersed in the water.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, okay, looks like what they did. You kind of have to deal with that.
Well, it takes time to come up with a good religion. You have to really think through all those issues.
There can be faith in that, but like you said, you're going to miss out if it's not the real deal, probably. Okay, so let's see. We went through what happens in the water of baptism when it's done with faith. When it's not done in faith, what happens?
Get wet.
It's a dirty bath, right? it's like the medieval bath where the dad took the bath first.
you want first water.
Yeah. So it's through faith. Like, and there's nothing magical in the water at all. But what happens if, like myself, you didn't fully understand everything that God wants to give you through baptism the first time you're baptized? Mm-hmm. Should you be rebaptized? Does everybody have to be? Like, what do you think?
Well, on that? I'm going to make this really simple for you. The first time you read the Bible, did you understand everything?
No.
You read it again. It's okay to read it again, I guess. Yeah. And at some point in time, it's really good if it reads you, but that's a whole different story. But the I believe if you didn't really believe, or you believe there's something more God has for you, why would you step away from it? Mm-hmm. Like, and by the way, this becomes a pride issue. I know this personally because I was challenged that way. I had been baptized, you know, as when I first came to the Lord. And then years later, we got more like revelation on it, you know, and mm-hmm. my pastor at the time, she's like, you should get baptized again, you and your wife. And I went, I'm baptized, and I believe I went down in with mm-hmm. faith. I know who I am and what I'm doing. She went, oh, that's nice. she didn't argue. She just went, she's like, okay. She figures, like, you know, the pride will be handled with God. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, somewhere along the line, I'm like, like, what? And then, it was the advice she gave me, the one I just said, and that is, she said, well, what happens if he has more for you? And I'm like, am I rejecting his hand?
Yeah.
And that's a serious thing, by the way. Matter of fact, I would say, I'm going to speak directly to someone listening right now. If God is like challenging you in that area and speaking to you and, you know, and asking you, like, what happens if I have more for you? And maybe in the area of water baptism, maybe Holy Spirit, maybe his word, maybe how you walk with him.
Yeah.
What's the, you know, why would we resist that exactly?
Yeah. I'll tell you a stumbling block I had on it. Mm-hmm. It's the verse that says, if you rebuild what you tore down, you make mm-hmm. yourself a transgressor. Mm-hmm. So like, if you think you have to be baptized to get more right with God, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be baptized.
No.
You're already totally right with God through Christ, right. through Christ's accomplishment. But God wants to release that into the world. Like we said, like he regenerates us. He makes us totally new at salvation, but that's like in the womb. It's got to be released through the water. That's the biblical way. So it's kind of like you're living your Christianity inside a womb. You know, you're kind of like a baby yelling out from mm-hmm. the mom's stomach, like, hey, believe, repent and believe, you'll be saved. You know, like nobody could barely, you know, hear you. They could kind of hear you through that, you know, but hopefully you could get released out through that womb, you know, and then you could really express the kingdom. So like, I don't think, like, sometimes I hear our church, I think some of the way we speak about it's a little imprecise of like, you get a new heart and you get a new mind when you are baptized. I think it's in you. It comes out. You know, it's like you're regenerated by the Spirit through faith, I believe. And you guys can shoot me down on this, but I think I'm right on it.
Get my gun.
You know, it's like, I think God does that for you, you know, through his blessing of salvation, but you appropriate that over time through your walk with God. It comes out progressively. It's expressed more in the way that God ordained to express that is through the waters of baptism, that you come and you see the kingdom and you walk in it with authority and power.
I just wanted
to help somebody that.
Yeah, I want to help you, but I wouldn't want to argue with you about that just because I think there's a simplicity in that once mm-hmm. again, that is, it's okay. If you just like, I wouldn't let like the subtleties of how a thing is expressed mm-hmm. keep you from God. I would be like, okay, great. They're calling it that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just like we know many people we deal with and, you know, are associated with. They have, they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? That's a terminology that we in our church tend to use, filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a distinction with the baptism that mm-hmm. happens at salvation. Now, if you call being filled with the Holy Spirit the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm okay with that. As long as you got the Holy Spirit, why do I care how you got it? So I would say, in those things, if someone wants to argue about a subtlety of the terminology, I would just say, all right, well, all right. Mm-hmm. Believe whatever you want, but believe that God does this operation. Go past the argument.
Yeah. I totally believe you have to just receive it as a child. I'm just saying, like, if somebody, just to help that person that's like, oh, I already did it, and so I'm good. Like you said, that was your thought process. Like, mm-hmm. I have it all, you know, well, maybe not. It's not in a sense of getting more of God's favor or anything like that. Mm-mm. It's a sense of getting more of his manifested power in your life, you know.
I think
it is a little different
that there are some people though who they got baptized in faith, maybe they didn't have the full understanding, but they can appropriate that now. It's like if you get married and you didn't really understand what it really means to be married, you know, like what about sacrificing and being one and all of that. Does that mean you need to get remarried? Maybe. Maybe you need to renew your vows with the right intention.
With additions.
You know? Edits. Just with the right understanding of what you're really committing to. Or maybe you just need to actually live that out. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really personal thing. I think there are some people who need to get rebaptized because there's always a question in their mind about did I have the right understanding? Did I have the full? And it's like, that to me is like, why live that way? Just go do it. It's very simple. Just, you know, but also, but there are some people who they're like, no, I did that in faith and I believe that. And now it's just a matter of me. Now I understand more. Mm-hmm. So I understand what was given to me at that time, what the Lord did for me. And I can walk that out.
Yeah, that's good.
My perspective.
Well, I think with everything, because they have to bring their faith to it, not my faith or your faith or our understanding, right? Mm-hmm. They have to bring their faith to that operation. And whatever helps them in their faith, if they believe, well, no, I don't need to do this, then me trying to convince them, they got to do it.
Right.
And they bring my faith to that, it's not helping them anymore. They're just complying, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of silly, but we do that, right? Religion does that a lot when we practice religion, which we all do at times. You know, like, you should do it this way.
Yeah.
This is the best way to God. I know. You know, and so...
Didn't that happen to Simon the magician where he's like, oh, everybody else is doing this. I think I need to do this. You know, and the Peter's like,
let's purchase.
Where did you come from? It's pretty bad. You know,
and he kind of hung with them for a while. Yeah. That was the weird part. Like, oh.
I hope he got it straight eventually. It doesn't say. Know. It doesn't say. How about this? Can you be baptized too many times?
I love it.
Am I allowed to ask this question?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I personally, like I mentioned to you earlier, that if your fingers are wrinkled from the water, it's probably been too many times. Permanently wrinkled.
Are you getting waterboarded or baptized right here?
Well, if you ask my leaders, they would say the waterboarding would do better. I'm just saying, come on. And they may be right. You know, I'm okay with that. But too many times, well, like I mentioned earlier, it's... If you believe, you should just do it. Or if you, like, it's okay. Like, there's not going to be harm, right? Because it's still your faith, you know. And we want to baptize Liz as many times as possible, hoping that one of those times. Just hoping. Okay, but now, I don't know. What do you think?
I think you should get baptized as many times as God tells you to.
Yeah.
That's my answer. I do think there comes a point when people... instead of actually exercising their faith, they're like, oh, I'll just do that trick again.
Oh, the fix?
Mm. Yeah.
The quick fix?
Oh, I do think it can get to that point sometimes. It's like, no, you just got to...
The reset button.
You just
got to
grow up now. Like...
Yeah.
Okay. That's the non...
You just need the
part of
you
me
mean
coming
you just
out.
Need to God up now.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know if the baptism worked? Like, how do you know if you're really walking in that new heart and that new mind?
Oh wow!
I'm just throwing out the question. How
I know,
do you know
for me it was like a night and day for my life. Just I had come to a point where it was like I just felt like I was hitting this wall and I just couldn't get further and I just needed to be different and I got baptized when I was 16 and I'd gotten baptized before that, but this time I knew I was having a face-to-face encounter with the Lord, and he completely changed my perception of everything, the way I read the word, what I received from the word. It was like, spoke to me. It was alive. It just was, everything was very, very different after I was baptized.
Excellent. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. How about you? How do you know it worked?
The jury's still out.
Sinless perfection right away.
This is yes. There are times when I wonder. No. That's the trial of your faith.
Yeah.
I think there are people who wonder about that. They were like, oh, did it not work? Because I this or I that. And it's like, really? You know, it is a walk of faith after that. Yeah. It's interesting for me when I think of baptism in my own life, and I also don't want to mislead somebody to think that my experience is the way it should be, because it's not. I don't, God deals with everybody different, you know? And so for me, it was very interesting. When I think of baptism, the first thing I think of is being in a class when they were teaching. I remember where I was sitting down in a little church in Redwood City. And I remember who was teaching, and I remember when they said those words about, you know, you'll see the kingdom of God, and some faith hit my whole being while I'm like, whoa. And I felt like at that moment, like, I'm ready right this second. Like, I know. Yeah. And so all I did was wait in anticipation to be baptized, which was like a week later or 2 weeks later. And I just knew at that moment, like, something hit me. So I don't know. Like, when that faith hits you, like, something strange happens there, because faith, it is an operation of faith. And so I believe that, like, something changed there. I can't really put my finger on it, but I'm not going to promote, like, that's the way it happens, because I don't know, you know, what do I know about those things? But when I came out of the waters, I guess I went in with so much anticipation.
Yeah.
And I guess anticipation of what he was going to do. Not just what I was going to feel, what I was going to do, how I was going to think. None of those things. It was mostly just anticipation of him. And I would say that if you go that way, you will not be denied, and you will not be, you know, feel sad or anything like that coming out disappointed, because you're going in with anticipation of him.
That's really cool.
Yeah, is that a strange story?
No, it's awesome. Sham was saying that in baptism class, where he's like, don't base it on how you feel afterwards, whether or not God did what he promised, you know, because he does promise, you know, we receive that circumcision made without hands through baptism, right? Like it says in Colossians. And so that is on him. Like, we're resting our faith on him, not on our feelings.
Right.
And I think that could really mess with people of like, oh, I guess it doesn't work because now I experienced a temptation, or, oh man, no, I wasn't singing and rejoicing right away, or something like that, you know, which if you don't go in with the right mindset, it can.
Well, I'm going to help somebody with that. Mm-hmm. I know a guy who got baptized and immediately came out, and the Holy Spirit led him out to be tempted immediately.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That guy. I know a guy. Yeah, immediately tempted in the wilderness. Like, what was that all about? So temptation. If you're looking for baptism to be an exemption from temptation, you're going to be pretty disappointed coming out of the water.
You couldn't even eat for 40 days.
Yeah, you'll starve yourself for a while. You'll be tempted to eat.
Yeah.
But there's an overcoming.
Yeah.
See, that's the deal. I mean, he wants us to be overcomers. And this is a major, I believe, a major component of being an overcomer, because, you know, as you think in your heart, as you believe, you know, you are.
Yeah, it's like using you know, the old mind that was enslaved to Satan to try to overcome Satan. Probably needs to be cut away first, right?
Just a little bit.
First. But yeah, that goes to my question. I had a question of how baptism relates to spiritual warfare. You know, and you mentioned that idea of being tested, right? Jesus was immediately led out into the desert to be tempted, and the Holy Spirit led him out there, right? And he had this face-to-face showdown with the devil, and God had just put his name on Jesus. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And Satan's, all of his temptations were, if you're the son, do this. And he had to withstand that. He had to actually hold on to the blessing God had given him and let it take root in him, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked before about in other countries where Christianity is persecuted, when somebody just confesses faith, it's, you know, you don't see that big of a response. But when somebody is baptized as a Christian, a lot of times they encounter a ton of persecution from the authorities or even from the spiritual realm because they've actually stepped into something. You know, they stopped dipping their toe in the water.
Oh yeah.
And they immersed themselves in something. I don't know what you guys think about that. Like, any other, you know, areas where baptism could link to.
I think I think the sonship component is huge. I think it's probably one of the most essential things, because without that, without the understanding of your rebirth, your adoption, the name that you bear, the nature that you bear, you're really just fighting from a position of performance and trying to earn something and trying to get somewhere. So I think the sonship component is just, you can't overemphasize that component of it. I think when it comes to all areas of Christian walk, but especially, you know, it's like you mentioned, you know, the son component, that's exactly, and it's interesting, you know, God said, this is my beloved son. And the enemy always says, you know, oh, you're the son, like the beloved son. That's an important distinction.
Yeah.
You know, the enemy will never mention that to your mind, but it's important. Yeah. That's an important distinction that God made of who we are. And I think if we don't actually embrace that and receive it with faith of, this is who I am, this is how the Father views me, your warfare will be weird.
That's awesome.
It'll be based in a lot of weird things.
You'll be working for your sonship.
Yeah, you're just fighting from a place of insecurity and fighting to try to achieve something, or trying to prove something, or trying to measure up to something you think you're supposed to be. You will never succeed. You'll always be fighting out of strife, never security, you know, and identity.
Mm. Be baptized into his name, right? Into the Son.
Yeah.
So
that's so intense. Everything about baptism, you know, we know the four components, or at least that's what we know up to this date. Well, maybe there's 10. We'll figure that out. Mm-hmm. But they are so they're so integral to our life, our walk. Mm-hmm. I mean, to actually being, you know, taking on the family name of God. And we just say that. We go, oh, you're taking on the family name of God. You know, really, that's like, think about this. You're being brought completely into his family with all the benefits of that. And the greatest benefit, like you just said, is beloved.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, Ephesians talks about that. It's talked about everywhere. And to be beloved of the Father, when you have that kind of security in him,
right.
you can get over the hump pretty good on a lot of things that you can't any other way. Yeah. If you do not know you're loved, like family loved, then you're probably going to fail along the way, because you're not standing on who you are in him, your sonship. And we'll
fight for the wrong things.
Yeah.
I think Christians spend a lot of times fighting for something that they already have, or trying to make themselves believe that they deserve it, which none of us deserve it. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I just think that one defining thing affects everything about how we live, fight, believe, you know,
that whole each other. Earning stuff and discerning, you know, deserving stuff is such a, it's the ultimate religion. That's not Christianity, actually, because he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Mm-hmm. Everything. It's like we didn't. Oh, wait, but I got this. Wait, I earned that. You know, let me work for this one. And it's like, I got it.
Yeah.
Now you just have to believe.
I would say if the enemy is, you know, if it was possible for him to speak the truth, that's probably the one true thing he says. You don't deserve it. Like, yes.
He says a lot of true things about me, but doesn't mean it's the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
True things and truth are two different things, right? I love it.
No, it's interesting, like, just to commit ourselves fully to that love, right? And not just to give a public confession, which we do. It's where we start. You know, Jesus is Lord. We confess that, but then we literally throw ourselves in the water. We literally immerse ourselves into it. And we say, like, I'm changing kingdoms. Like, I'm being translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Yep. All the early church, all their early formulations of baptism included a formal renunciation of Satan and the devil. Mm-hmm. Because you were like, I'm done with that. That's the realm of death. I'm being buried, and I'm rising victorious out of that. Mm-hmm. In 1 Peter 3, like I mentioned, where he talks about Jesus proclaiming victory over the spirits in prison. And then rising out of that, just like Noah rose out of the flood, and then Jesus is superior to powers and principalities. He's saying, like, when Jesus was buried, he showed his victory over all those powers and principalities. And when you are buried, you are going to rise and show your victory in him. And it's like you're stepping into a new level of authority. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think the enemy is not going to test that? Like,
right.
Well, I think there's a tremendous component of deliverance associated with baptism that people don't normally make that association. But there is a deliverance, right? That's when you gave the example earlier of Egypt. You know, coming out of Egypt, going through the Red Sea, that was a deliverance that happened to them. And they could not do that deliverance with their own hand or their own power. Mm-hmm. Just like when they went over, you know, Jordan, death, if you will, they could not do that with their own hand and their own power. They actually needed God. They required, they couldn't do it on their own.
No.
And so we can't either. But there's a delivering thing that happens there, you know, and it's just so, it's pretty.
It says they were baptized into Moses in 1 Corinthians 10. Yeah, it's, it literally is that deliverance through baptism.
Mm-hmm. It just came to my mind as you were saying that their deliverance came as they had to go through the water, through the sea, to the other side. And I just was thinking, you know, the enemy pursued them the whole way.
Right.
And there is, we see this, people are like, I'm going to get baptized. And then there's like, the enemy really does set an array against them. And pursues them to try to dissuade them from that. And some people do end up like just dropping out because they wouldn't, you know, they succumb to it. Mm-hmm. But the only way to, you know, he's going to pursue you because he doesn't want you to, he understands what it means.
Yeah.
You're translating from his kingdom to another kingdom. Mm-hmm. But the only way to actually be free of that pursuit is to go through it, you know, is to actually go through with it. So
amen.
It just came to my mind when you were
saying there's so much that goes with the whole deliverance components of it that get going to it. We can talk about that one on a whole podcast.
Say one more thing about it.
One more thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seemed like you have one more thing.
I have a bunch of more things that lined up and I was like, oh wow, coming through because they actually had to have faith to go, you know, like the waters rise up, you know, and we're walking through, and I know there's dry ground. They were probably wowed by the, by the moment and the miracle. Mm-hmm. Of like, whoa, what's going on here?
Right? How long is this gonna last?
Yeah, really. I want to get to the front of the line.
Reminds me when I crawled through that glacier. That was really bad.
Oh my gosh, that was
yes.
You really made it.
Right? That was really like being born, David. You were really born again.
Yeah. I was already baptized. I don't even need to be baptized. Sorry.
Born by ice.
It was like an Ace Ventura emergence right there. So yeah, go ahead.
That's funny. I heard a testimony yesterday from a brother in our church who talking about born again through ice. He was out skiing one of these and an avalanche happened and buried a guy. Oh, and when they finally dug the guy out, he was like, the guy was dead, right? And he laid hands on the guy and started praying in tongues. And all the unbelievers that were with him were like, huh? And the guy came alive. Oh, I mean, they did. I mean, he was broken up and all this, but he came alive. Yeah. And he's flying out on a helicopter. You get in there on a helicopter. They're flying out, and all the unbelievers like, what were you doing to that guy? Because they all knew he was dead.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, you know, giving him the heart pumps and everything. They're like, he's dead.
Oh, man.
So it's a crazy thing. So
it's crazy.
Going through the waters took faith, like a weird kind of faith to just like, okay, we're going through this. And then the second time through Jordan, that's a whole different baptism going on there, I think. But so that was the next thing. But yeah, we'll cover some other
faith
stuff.
Faith to walk all the way through, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting how many elements there are, like how many layers there are to this simple thing. It makes you realize why Peter just said, how are you saved? Repent and be baptized. Yeah. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Or he was very thorough. Paul's the same way in Acts, I think it's Acts 19, where he finds guys that haven't heard of the Holy Spirit. He's like, okay, well, let's baptize you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. He's just super thorough. He's like, you guys need all this stuff. This is critical to your walk with God.
Well, I also think there's that covenant aspect of baptism that happens that sometimes we can overlook that in some interesting ways. But the covenant, I believe, happens obviously with the Lord, but also with his people. Like, I believe that's why baptism is also done you know, somewhat with other people there. Mm-hmm. Like
witnesses.
Yeah. I mean, usually you don't go and like baptize yourself. I guess you could do that. I'm going to come up with that one for a new doctorate.
I'm sure somebody's done it.
Somebody's done it. I'm sure. But there's some aspect of it's a covenantal relationship that's going on with the people of God. And, mm-hmm. and when we do that publicly, if you're connected to baptism and you understand it, when someone's getting baptized, you believe with them in that moment. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't miss that. You can't, you know, you have to understand they are actually coming into the family of God in a different and a new dimension. And that covenant exists now. Like there's a connection. And so, yeah, there's that part is, like I said, there's the things about baptism kind of blow me away. It's just most of the time when you actually get to thinking about them. I mean, it's an exciting time we do. I think sometimes, you know, in church when it's just done kind of like, oh, it's the routine, dunk them, you know, and we miss what's going down,
mm-hmm.
like with God. Like God's there. Mm-hmm. Like it's he is the operator, not us.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so good.
And so, and
yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you guys have both kind of touched on personal testimonies of baptism, but can you say a little bit more about, you know, if you have anything, just the difference that it made for you guys in your personal walk with the Lord?
Yeah. I mean, I've been baptized 3 times. Baptized when I was 12, because that's what we did. Mm-hmm. Got baptized when you were 12 or at church camp.
Age of accountability.
I made that choice and the Lord met me and he did something in my life. But when I was 16, that's when I believe I really experienced the transformative power of in its fullness, mm-hmm. of baptism, the way we believed it. And then I got baptized, let's see, 2 years ago. I was at a worship event in the valley, and I was outside, and like revival was breaking out, and there was a fountain, and people started getting in the fountain and getting, I mean, like, you know, just like huge tatted up men baptized and like come out bawling, and their families are there, and like it was revival. And you know, and I had driven like 3 hours to get to this thing, and I didn't have a change of clothes. I'm in jeans, you know. I'm like, oh my gosh, but I'm like, I gotta do it. And so I'm like, I'm going. My friend's like, what? I'm like, I'm going. So we went and sat down in this fountain, and they like, you know, are you coming back to the Lord? Or like, why are you getting baptized? And like, I should have said yes.
Have you been addicted to meth? Or?
Yeah. They said, you know, like, what is your reason for getting baptized? And I just said, whatever God is doing, I want to be baptized into this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And so it was amazing. Like the Lord came and he really did something really sovereign in my life during that time. And then I had a 3-hour drive home in my soaking wet clothes, but it was great. It was like,
the eunuch had a longer drive and an open
chariot.
Well, it was the middle of the day in the Middle East, though, so exactly. He probably dried off pretty
hard
quick.
Hard to tell. You know? Some days can be pretty cold over there.
Yeah. It's true, so, though. Yeah.
You know, that's why I tell people, like, it's the doctrine of baptisms. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't always have to be one time, one and done. That's it.
That's good.
You know, and right. Just with the helpful. Lord is moving on you, if there's something more he has for you or something that's significant, go for it.
No, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have anything else you want to add about, you know, maybe how it made a difference for you?
I think it's still making a difference. I guess that's the beauty of water baptism, is just knowing, you know, when you grow and he's, you know, pouring into your life and you're going through your trials and your life and the good, the great, and the not so good, the not so great, the ups and downs. But just having that knowledge, that confidence that I'm his and I'm, you know, I belong to him, that beloved thing, you know, where you're accepted in the beloved, like yeah. we were saying earlier from Ephesians, there's such a confidence, but it's not a self-confidence. It's just a God confidence. Like, okay, I belong to you.
Yeah.
And you know, what come what may, I'm with you and you're with me. And we're good together. And so I can't, for me personally, you know, it's been a long time since I've gotten baptized, but it's, I mean, I've helped baptize people
yeah,
not too long ago, several years ago maybe, but it's so great. Like, I can't explain it. It's like,
well, that's the cool part of it, right?
When I think about it,
that's the coolest part, right? It's like baptizing others, like Liz was saying, with the Great Commission.
Oh yeah,
being able to explain that to them. In Santa Barbara, we take them out to the ocean and just throw them in a wave, you know. I think that's like the best way
you
can get baptized. But
except there's sharks.
Well, you know, there's a risk to everything, you know. Don was baptizing people in this river in Africa, and this guy was like, crocodile. There's all these, like, crocodiles right there.
But that happened in India, too.
There's always a risk. there's always a risk with baptism. You could get someone who's overzealous baptizer and holds you down until the bubbles stop.
Yes.
You know.
Have you done that
before? No. I made that joke up just now. You know,
that's
that
a good joke.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard it before.
That's going to go down. I think that's going to go down. Is one of ours.
Yeah. No, I was.
Yeah, I've only heard it once.
I was baptized before I was really walking with the Lord. It wasn't like a real relationship for me. And then I was rebaptized about 7 or 8 years ago in Israel, because I was at the Jordan. Oh, I was like, I'm going to get baptized in the Jordan. And there was a really cool moment. You know, I sensed something. But I hadn't even really looked into it as anything more than a symbol. And so once I started learning about that more and more, I think the Lord just set a choice before me. He's like, you don't have to do this necessarily, but look, I have more for you, like Pastor Bob was saying. Yeah. And so I could either believe that intellectually, or I could just go in, you know, like enact my faith. So I just chose to do that. Cause why, you know, why have regrets and just meet the Lord? And I, you know, there's certainly things that I'm not capable of seeing brought into my life in terms of my character and in terms of my reactions to things, in terms of authority in the spiritual realm, and just everything that only the Lord can do. I want him to do it, you know? So I'm just saying that declaration beforehand. I believe he's going to do it, you know, when I'm baptized again. Cause you know, and I believe anybody listening that does have that question, they should do that. Like, walk in the, you know, have a new heart, have a new mind, have a new family name, get the old circumcised off you and buried. You know, it's a radical language, but it's biblical language, you know.
Well, so I think we should air this baptism podcast this week, so that people people can tune in this week and watch Pastor David at church be baptized.
To wear a dark shirt.
That's a good idea, actually. Dark shirt.
Always wear a dark, that's always a good advice, you know. Wear a dark shirt.
And never baptize in the prison, right?
You just keep your eyes up to the Lord.
We'll find out if you're born again.
Exactly. The dark shirt joke I stole from Keturah at baptism class. She's so I just good. Give her credit She's credit good. For that.
Yeah.
I'm stealing all the jokes today. So
no, it's okay. It's acceptable.
I do love baptism in the prison. I'm gonna say
it is.
It's amazing. In the laundry cart, and God comes.
It's amazing. One time we had this story time here.
Do it.
One time we had a baptism in the prison, and one of the guys, for those who are not prison savvy people, it was a shot caller, you know. So he's a guy that's he's had a lifetime of, you know, making sure people don't stay alive, truly or dead. And so he decided to get baptized, and it was so weird. We were in this place, and by the way, we're going to baptize in a laundry cart, which is a whole nother thing, you know. And so what did prevent us? And there, and the prisoners started to walk in, like they all went out and got ready to get baptized, and they all walk in. And when he walked in, well, first of all, we normally had about 65 or 85 guys there. They had over 100 that night, because they came to watch him get baptized. Like, it made such a difference to them. And when he walked in, they just erupted in clapping, and I was shocked. I've never seen that before. Like, oh yeah, he's getting, you know. Yeah. And they were all like, "We're safe."
I know, right? I understand that.
You understand that, right? But it was so crazy. Like, when it happened, it hit me. You were there, I think, that night, and like, it just hit you. The Spirit of God just was like, "Whoa!" I thought, "Oh, this is the way baptism is supposed to be received. It's not supposed to be, okay, we're baptizing, okay. Well, is it 12 o'clock yet? We better get out of here." It's like, no. No, it's, you know, these people are definitely in prison, and God's delivering them. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're right, it's probably the best baptism you'll ever go to is in a prison. if you live through it.
All right. Well, can't really do better than that one. So we'll see you next time on the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.